The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Your CD is skipping. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez on this Wednesday, May 18, 2022. We welcome Mike Boddicker in studio. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you?
Got a bum right knee. Old age, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Don't know. Just old. Crap breaks down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did my MRI yesterday on my shoulder.
Did you? What did you find in there, soup?
Well, yeah, probably. well, Mark will like that one. Yeah. Well, they have not let me know, but it was not an enjoyable process.
Maybe your brains have drained into your shoulder.
I don't know. I just want to know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got a bad big toe. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm almost 50. I'm getting there.
Trust me.
I'm getting there. Things are falling apart.
You're preaching to the choir here, Slick.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I don't fit comfortably into the MRI tube, whatever that is.
Snug.
Well, I was like this for like 45. I'm not kidding.
Not one of those open ones?
No.
They didn't put you in an open one? Oh,
no.
Yeah, those are tough. Yeah, you're kind of crunched up. I've been in about
they had me like,
30
yeah.
of those damn things.
They had me like this and like that,
uh-huh.
you know.
Yep.
And that just, it's not how I'm built.
Yeah, and they tell you to hold still. I said, you can't help it. I mean,
right.
You can't move.
And I've been
They got to grease you up to get you in and out of those things. You know, I used to sit there.
That wouldn't have been bad.
When they were shoving you in those tubes, I'm sitting there going, okay, how do the football players do this? Those guys are huge.
Well, they got to do the open one. They have to.
Well, this is back before they had the
right.
open one. I mean, how do you shove those guys in those tiny little tubes?
Like but squeezing a cow into an anthole.
I've been battling with a cough. Like, if they don't cough,
you could run
cough,
around in there,
cough.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
He loves it. don't cough. I cough one time. Because I don't want to start over.
Yeah.
But, I got through that.
Did they give you the music to listen to?
I had some classic rock.
So yeah, there
actually,
you go.
Now, that was good.
Yeah.
I just tried to zone
the
out.
The whole key for an MRI is anybody it's kind of claustrophobic a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. I always took a little washcloth with me. And they lay me in there. I'd lay the washcloth over my eyes. And this is way even before the music. That's how old I am. And then they'd take you in there. And as long as the washcloth's over your eyes, you're good. You don't know. You know. You can feel yourself move, but you don't know. I mean, the thing's right by your face.
I mean, the music was key, though.
Yeah.
They put the earplugs in.
Oh, yeah, those
in,
are great.
And then they had the
those
big headphones. And what do you want to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, they go, well, we have classic rock on it, so that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And so
it makes it go faster, except when that thing goes.
Right.
Bunk, kunk,
but
kunk,
I got
kunk.
To the point where I was about ready, of course, then, when you know, I was about ready to fall asleep. Because that's the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way my life is. And I don't know about you. That's when.
Little
when,
nap
like,
time?
2 a.m, 3 a.m, I'm tossing and turning and everything else. Can't sleep comfortably. I've been had, especially when I've been dealing with this cold or whatever else I've had. And then.
Boy, you're just falling apart.
I'm not telling you. And so then, like, right 10 minutes before my alarm goes off, I find the most comfortable spot in the world. I've never slept so wonderfully as I've ever. The pillow's cold. Everything's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Everything feels like, oh, I found my spot.
Yeah.
Now I can sleep the sleep of the dead. I'm out. Bam, bam, bam. I said, you got to be effing kidding me.
That's
10 more minutes of
God,
this
you
bliss.
Just described almost every night, I swear.
Some about 10 minutes before my alarm goes off, that's when I find my sweet spot.
Finally.
You know, so. But here I am. I couldn't wait to get out of bed and talk about Brady Singer.
He was
with
good.
You.
He was good. He was very good.
Now, let's...
I mean, there's three or four things that you can just say, okay, here's why.
Velocity.
Strike. Yeah, I know you texted me and said...
Location.
Nine strikeouts. That's the best thing I've seen. I don't care about nothing
else.
Well,
I will play the devil's advocate here because...
You devil.
The White Sox, I mean, if the ball bounces up there, they're hacking. It can be... In the other batter's box, they want to hit.
But Singer was good.
Singer was very good, and he exploited that. And location, he was just locating, and I still think the big thing is the changeup.
Okay, I want you to listen to Brady Singer talking about the changeup, number 8, Marco Marquez, and tell me what you think about his comments here. Brady Singer was asked about the usage of his changeup last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm looking at different swings on the other two pitches when I throw it. Like I said, it's been feeling good this whole year. I think just throwing it more has helped a lot. And like I said, I think you get better too.
You've had these dominant starts before with your sinker-slider combination, been able to go to those pitches most often, those starts, but to be able to still mix in the changeup as much as you did, I mean, that seems like a step forward.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot more of those outings if the changeup's going to help do that, for sure. So that's exciting.
What do you mean, if the changeup's going to help? Of course it's going to help. I'm sitting there going, don't doubt yourself. You just saw. He didn't even said it. The different swings on his other pitches. That's what it does. Changing speeds does that. Takes a really good hitter and makes him marginal because they don't know. They can't set hard fastball, hard slider. They have to respect the changeup. And it changes the way they approach, the way they hit, and the swings they take off your other pitches. I mean, it's just been that way forever. You locate, you change speeds, and you work quick, and you throw strikes. And generally, you're going to fare pretty well.
What were your, as far as the order of effectiveness, your pitch repertoire?
Mine?
Yes.
I had to establish my fastball. Otherwise, the guys had set on my slow curve, my changeup. And my changeup in the early 80s was really good. It was really good. I could pretty much throw exactly where I wanted to, whenever count I wanted to. And it would fade away from a left-hander and dive down into a right-hander. As I got older, my finger started spreading because I used a split finger where I'd rotate my thumb. And it got to be a little bit harder. It wasn't quite. And my fastball kept getting closer to my changeup, so it wasn't quite as effective. But still.
Fastball was your changeup.
Yeah. Well, I got questioned about that a few times by guys when I'd come in. They were keeping the charts going, was that a fastball or was that a changeup? I went, crap. That's not good when you can't tell the difference. A big league pitcher can't tell. A good pitcher can't tell the difference.
So if you're going to
I think Gubazow was just screwing with me, though.
If you're going to work with a young pitcher and that was trying to establish a changeup, what is the best advice you give them?
Being able to throw it for a strike, and don't be afraid to throw it. You know, guys, when guys get burnt on a changeup, generally it's elevated and it's in the middle of the plate. Once you can command it, you know, kind of throw it in the area you want to, it's pretty tough.
But mechanically, was there a trick to it? Like Dayton Moore described as a field pitch.
I never could throw a changeup, and I got to college and I needed another pitch. I had a really good breaking ball and at the time for me it was a good fastball, about 88, 89.
So you were Brady Singer.
Brady Singer. All right. And I needed another pitch, and I had my college pitching coach, Fernando Arango, was from Cuba, and he was trying to teach me a forkball to give me something different. And every time it popped out of my hand, it would spin and dive like a changeup. And he goes, good enough. And I just kept throwing it and throwing it and throwing it until I got it to where I could command it.
So you were trying to throw a forkball.
Yeah, it didn't come out that way.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't pop out like a normal forkball. It would spin out like, And I found moving my thumb up on the seam a little bit, I could really make it spin and really make it dive.
But if you didn't develop that pitch,
I wouldn't have fared that well. No,
you understand exactly where he's going.
But
to
I,
then.
Yeah, and I didn't have a curveball at the time. I had a hard breaking ball. I was Brady Singer, slider, sinker, or you know, four seam once in a while. And I taught myself the curveball in AAA. So we really didn't have pitching coaches in AAA then. So basically, you were on your own.
How many different grips are there available to somebody on a changeup?
Well, I can teach you 4 to 5 different grips.
Right. So I'm wondering, like, with because you got the circle change, you got the Foss change, you got all these different kinds of grips you can do. With, if you're a guy like Singer that's never, quote-unquote, been able to throw one, how much of it is just figuring
feel.
Out
it's all
which
about
grip
feel.
You should be using?
It's about feel. When you play catch, you can tell if it feels good coming out of your hand.
Yeah.
Then it's just a matter of keeping throwing it to where you can command it. That's all it is. And obviously he found something to where it feels comfortable to him. He still sounds like he's questioning throwing it.
Well, that's what I said when we heard that earlier.
I'm sitting there going, come on, man. You just punched out 9 and 7 innings, no runs, dominated.
Well, maybe he's not trying. Maybe he's trying not to get ahead of himself. You know, he almost threw a no hitter his rookie year, and then it wasn't like everything just was easy street from there. Maybe he's just trying to keep himself grounded. I don't know. I'm trying to give him.
Well,
the benefit of the
what I've seen over the course of the last 8 to 10 years is. Everything's power.
Good job.
Power.
Eight to 10 years. I appreciate that. 8-10.
Yeah. Thank you. Everything's power. Power, power. That's what they're looking for is power in the arm. Power arms. And that's hard to change after you've had that knocked into your head pretty much your whole life as these kids have. And all of a sudden something new comes out. Hey, the changeup really works. But I still got in the back of my head, I need to throw my sinker. I need to throw my slider. Those are my big pitches. And the guys who are great changeups, you know, Ted Williams told me the toughest pitch to hit was a changeup.
Some truths, like, transcend all sports. And one of the things that Grunty talks about all the time is the most important thing you can do when he's talking about NFL football is get the guy on the other side to hesitate. If the guy on the other side isn't sure, if he can't cheat and know which way you're going or what you're going to do, then you become
you got
that much
him.
Better. You got
yeah,
him.
You got him.
Well, you know, I'm reading this stuff about Larry Bird. Larry Bird was never the quickest guy or the most explosive guy in the world, but you had to come flying out at him because he could hit any shot.
Any shot, anywhere.
Which made his first step past you that much quicker because your momentum was going the opposite direction, and you had to hesitate because he could take it to the
it's
basket.
It's just like a shortstop or a center fielder. They might not be the fastest guy in the world, but do they get a good jump off the ball?
Right.
I mean, you Ripken was not quick at shortstop by any means.
Right.
But, man, he could recognize where the ball was going, the bat swing. And he had a step and a half on the ball as soon as it was hit.
So if
that's what made him a great shortstop.
If you're a hitter and you are facing a 97-mile-per-hour fastball and then a slider that's only 93 – you don't have to. It doesn't disrupt your timing.
Not
that much.
No. It's all about timing.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, that's what hitters do. I mean, I'll reference Ted Williams again. He said, "I don't care how hard these kids throw." He says, "I could hit a bullet if I got enough looks at it."
Right.
As long as it's the same speed all the time, I could eventually get to it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what these guys are doing. You get somebody that, you know, you can get away with it for an inning, and that's why the relievers do it. I mean, they can do it because they're coming in. But it's still a matter of location. You can't just throw it down the middle. These guys, they'll turn on it. I'm sorry. They're quick. They got great bat speed, and they're smart hitters. They can figure that out. But you mix in some different speeds and different, you know, pitches and throw off their timing. Hitting's all timing. That's what it is. And that's, hell, I'd have never survived without it. Ever. Because I didn't have good enough stuff. But throw off hitter's timing and locate, and you can hang around for a while.
Dayton Moore was on the Zone with Jason Anderson yesterday. Play the clip that we played earlier when Jason asked Dayton Moore about Brady Singer throwing the changeup.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and we are. I mean, but, you know, Brady Singer hasn't been able to throw a changeup since he was 14. He's never thrown a changeup well. He's never thrown it on a consistent basis. So it's a feel pitch. It requires a lot of repetition, as we know. And so what do we need to do? Well, we're going to continue to – he certainly needs – with his current arsenal, a third pitch is really, really important. That being said, we've all seen major league pitchers that have one dominant pitch or two dominant pitches, and as long as they command them and they have some deception, can go deep into games. And so the one thing I would tell our staff, and share this with you and our fans, let's not focus so much on the weakness of a pitcher or a player where we don't continue to we don't continue to stay with what works for them, and we keep their strength strong, and let's not work so much on the weaknesses where we lose their strengths. And so yes, we have to focus on the changeup, and he threw more changeups in the minor leagues, and there goes back to a very important question, a question that should be asked and needs to be answered. So if Brady Singer would have spent time in AAA, he would have been forced to use his changeup and develop better. And so, again, that comes back to, a decision that I made ultimately through the recommendations of many, but ultimately made to allow him to be on the major league team without three quality pitches.
What do you think of that?
Well, we were all harping to get him up here and see what he had. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going back down and working on something. You can't survive as a starter unless you got some special pitch where you can throw it and they know it's coming and they're still not going to hit it. Eventually, big league hitters are going to get you. You have to throw off their timing. And, you know, he was talking yesterday also about this multi-million dollar complex down in Surprise or wherever they're going to put it, about pitching. I can't remember exactly his words, but I'm sitting there going, and I did agree with Dayton when he said losing the minor league teams are awful for baseball, just awful, because that's where they develop, that's where you find out, and you're missing out on some kids probably that would make the big leagues and make an impact because you can't draft them because we don't have a place to put them. It's a shame that baseball did that to the towns, to the kids, everybody. It's a joke. And but there, you can't. It's about failure and learning from failure. That's the thing. That's what the minor leagues are about. You have to go out there and get your brains beat in once in a while, and see how you respond to that, and figure out, okay, I need to do this. Like I said, I taught myself a curveball in AAA because the upper echelons people were saying, hey, he needs another pitch. Look at Steve Stone. He won the Cy Young throwing a curveball and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I'll teach myself the curveball. And I sat in the dugout and I played catch until I figured it out. And I ended up having a pretty good curveball. But that's where you figure it out. We didn't have a pitching coach. Thank God I had two of my teammates were Steve Luber, who was with the Royals organization as a pitching coach, and Mark Wiley, who was the pitching coach here for a while. Those were two of my teammates. So they would sit down there and help me and talk to me. Thank God, because I probably could have never figured it out without them. But, you know, there's always somebody along the line that can help these kids. It just needs to be the right guy or guys. And I think that's where the Royals need to get to. They need to find the right people to get them there. The minor league system is—it just kills me that we don't have teams anymore. It just drives me nuts.
So the thing, listening to the two different quotes we played this segment, the one from Singer, where you're saying, you know, gosh, he seems like he almost still doesn't want to believe in his changeup, but then you listen to that quote from Dayton, and there's so much mixed messaging in that quote from Dayton. I mean, some of the comments.
Yeah, we're not
going to
get away from what he does because he's really good at it.
He's never been able to throw a changeup. Yeah. Why is everybody talking so much about the changeup? But then in other parts of that quote, he says it's really important that he learns the third pitch. And so you're. I mean, you listen to it and you're okay. Is it important that he learns a changeup, or is it? Are we putting too much emphasis on him? I'm hearing both things here, and so you almost wonder. Has Brady Singer been hearing some of that mixed messaging, and is he still trying to figure out? You know,
he might be getting stuff from home or a college coach, or that's what you get. You get calls. Oh, hey, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, come on, that's not you.
All right, what you just said. Okay, I want to play this clip and get your response to this because Dayton Moore talked about this with Jake Junis. We've all been talking about how good Junis is, how good he's looked, how well. He's pitched with the Giants this year. Well, Dayton Moore has heard people talking about that as well, clearly. And so let's play the clip of Dayton Moore talking about Jake Junis and the success he's having right now with the Giants.
People like to talk about Jake Junis. We were telling Jake Junis for 3 years, you got to throw your slider 60, 70% of the time. And he just wouldn't commit to it. Why? Well, he had a lot of outside forces in his ear and telling him what he needed to do to reach, you know, arbitration and to become a free agent. And this is what he's got to do. And this is how he's – plus his general health, shoulder, elbow, other things that you can't really talk about was prohibiting from him to doing, you know, certain things and committing to certain – I mean, so there's – you can take any situation and you can use it to whatever your advantage or whatever narrative that you're trying to create. I mean, you know, our scouts were the ones that recognized Jake Junis and gave him $600,000 out of high school and gave him an opportunity to play pro ball and gave him a full ride scholarship to the college of his choice. And so, you know, we celebrate the fact that, you know, he's doing better. We want him to do better, but there's so many different factors involved with it.
Okay, so
you got a big grin on your face. I don't know where this is going to go.
So what I took away from that sounds like he's referencing Alec Lewis's column. He goes, you could take whatever you want to fit your narrative, because that was a big part of Alec Lewis's column, right?
Yeah.
And we all know that that's been a discussion point within the Royals organization. You know, when you heard me read, you know, last week. And as soon as I saw that and read that, Nate, right? What did we say? Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be talking about this over at Kauffman Stadium, right? Yeah. Okay, so then you tell me what you took away from those comments right there.
Well, again, I mean, Dayton will tell you what's on his mind. And I will say this, in the industry in which we live, content, he gives you some content, man, because he says what's on his mind. Like,
but what did you think of what he said?
Well... there's a lot. He said a lot there, so I have a lot of thoughts.
Go.
I thought I smell smoke.
Well,
gears grinding oil.
Yeah, you don't want my brain working this early in the morning. Yeah. I've only had a little bit of coffee. The first part is, you know, the outside source, the outside influences. You know, his agent, his agent's camp. You know, telling him what he's got to do to get to arbitration.
Yeah, it's pretty much saying to your agent, saying here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Don't blow out throwing 70% sliders, because if you blow out, then you're gone for 2 years and you're never going to get the money.
I believe Dayton Moore on that. I believe that probably has happened. But I will say this. I mean, this goes back to what...
Well, Mike just said that happens before.
It happens.
Mike hadn't heard that clip. He said that, you know,
pitchers are dealing with it. I never heard that clip. Yeah,
but, you know, there's something I used to defend Dayton Moore when he took the job with the Royals, and all of a sudden... ownership started spending money in Latin America and spending money on the amateur draft and everything. And a lot of people that defended his predecessor, Allard Baird, would say, well, the glasses wouldn't give him the money. They wouldn't let him do all those things that Dayton's getting to do. And my point was, well, part of Dayton's job is to sell his vision to ownership.
Good salesman.
And you know, part of your job, it's you don't just take whatever the boss gives you. You got to sell the boss. You got to convince him to go spend this money. Well, another part of it is you got to sell your pitching philosophy to the guys that are on your staff. You know, and I know it's hard in today's world where you got all these outside influences, everything, but it seems like the Giants or somebody have sold him on what he needs. At the end of the day, he's being successful there.
The usage of his slider has gone way up with the Giants, as opposed to what it was.
For whatever reason, they've been able to sell. If the Royals were trying to sell it to him and he wasn't buying, well, that's a failure, you know?
Can we just time out real quick? Because you said Allard Baird.
Allard, this is Jim Rose.
Yes, Jim.
Kirk Robinson wants to know why you're running off all of his good ball players. Okay.
You still there, Allard?
Yes, I'm still here.
Sorry.
It's one of the greatest moments in Kansas City radio history right there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Oh, not for long, though.
That awkward Oh, my God. And Allard was a good guy.
Allard was a good guy.
Good guy, good baseball guy. But he wasn't ever able to convince the glasses to spend money. Whether that's his fault or not, it just is what it is. And you got
to
give.
You can't give someone $10 to send to the grocery store and then bitch about why didn't you make me a gourmet dinner.
Right.
Especially right now.
But at the same time, you know, it's part of the chef's like, hey, if you want me to make something good, you got to convince the guy to spend a little money. And however he did it, Dayton Moore was able to do that with the Glass family. And so, but then the same thing applies in this regard. You know, that was the most, we talked about that article with Alec Lewis, the most disturbing part was, and if I'm the Royals, I instead of being mad at Alec Lewis, I would be, okay, we've got a problem on our hands because we've got players in our clubhouse who are grumbling about the success that pitchers are having after they leave here.
But didn't you hear what he said, that you could use that for whatever narrative, you know, a week after that article comes out and that's used?
My fear is sometimes when the Royals see stuff like that, they get mad at the messenger.
But didn't Dayton say in the interview that he wants the criticism? He wants ideas. Well, he wants his stuff. Yeah. I've been here for 100 years, and he's never called me and asked me.
Let's hear Dayton Moore talk about criticism.
Okay. Criticism comes in two ways. It comes with a critical eye or a critical spirit. I'm thankful for all aspects of criticism as long as it's coming from a critical eye, because that helps you uncover blind spots, that shapes you, that molds you. I want to be criticized in ways that help us move forward, okay? And so we certainly encourage that within our organization. There's no yes men or yes women around me or any of the people in leadership positions. We want to discuss things in a very honest way. Self-evaluation is how you get better. But there are people and others that look at us all, you and me, each and every day, with a very critical spirit. And I've learned I can't please them. And so I don't even really try. Whatever I do will never be good enough. And so I've learned to just differentiate between the two.
That's it.
Do you have a critical eye or a critical spirit?
Yes. Yes. I do both, I think.
Yes.
That's why I hadn't called you.
Right.
That's right. Probably. No.
I think that's actually great advice that he gives there about life.
Exactly.
I think that's great advice.
And everybody
I can't please anyone.
We're sitting here, and we're nitpicking with Dayton and all this other stuff. I like Dayton Moore. I like what he's done. I like Allard Baird. I like J.J. Piccolo. I like all these guys. They're good guys. They really are. It's just you have to find a way to win.
Let me tell you something.
The bottom line is Kauffman's not going to fill up unless we win.
Whatever you think, that was 30 minutes that you couldn't turn the radio.
Yeah.
That was good.
All the stuff that he said.
Yeah, I was out doing some errands, and I sat in the truck and listened to it. I couldn't. I wanted to hear it.
I'll take that, you know.
Yeah.
And again, you can listen to the whole interview. You listen to the podcast. He was on The Zone with Jason Anderson. It was a great interview.
Yeah, it really was.
I listened to it, and I was disappointed when it was over. I said, let's have more. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like Dayton was ready. Might have gone on for 2 hours. This is fantastic.
I respect the man. He pretty much lays it out there. And some I don't agree with everything he says, but hey, like you said, he's not going to please everybody. He probably won't please me half the time. So
well, that's half the time.
Well, okay, a little more than half, but that's beside the point. I want to win here. I want to win in Kansas City. That's all I care
about.
Right. If you're listening to that though, and whether you're a an athlete yourself as a kid, a person at work that has to deal with criticism, you know, all that stuff.
About radio producer.
Radio producer, like Marco, you're trying to get people to break. Right. Why can't I get anybody to listen to me?
Well, that was 20 minutes ago. He asked for a break, wasn't it?
The advice there is fantastic, though, because you will have – it's a human reaction when you get criticized to become defensive.
Oh, yeah. You feel like you're under
attack. Okay, somebody's cutting me down. And so being able to identify what is constructive criticism or destructive criticism or critical spirit, critical eye, that's really hard. That's really hard for all of us, you know. And sometimes, though, I would say this – I believe Dayton Moore when he says we don't have any yes men here. Because I'll be honest, I can tell you a true story here. When I used to work
there
on the
broadcast. There goes your break, Marco.
Okay, so Marco is going to.
Let's break. Can I tell?
Hey,
can
Alec
I tell?
Lewis,
you can. You can tell as soon as we get back. Because Marco's rolling his eyes at you.
Begging you.
Okay.
But I want you to tell the story.
I do too.
You know what that's called? That's a tease.
Tell the story.
Oh, yeah. Come on back and listen to Nate talk.
Listen to Nate's story.
You can do your job, Marco.
After this.
I'm not a yes man. You're not a yes man, Marco.
Hell no. He's a break man.
Yeah.
Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Before Nate Bugatti tells the story, Salvador Perez, IL, sprained thumb. Mm-hmm. He wants to come back, obviously, after 10 days, so they're thinking maybe two to 3 weeks.
They got to get a leash on him because he's going to be chomping at the bit to get back.
Silver lining, we get to take a longer look at MJ Melendez?
Yes. Yes. And a consistent basis behind the dish. And see, you know... There's been some times I've seen him behind the dish. You're going,
hard to judge him once a week.
It's hard to judge when you get once or twice a week behind the dish. That's not fair to the kid. But then again, you got Salvador Perez. What do you got? Sorry.
Well, take advantage of the opportunity to evaluate him.
Show the Kansas City Royals, show the Kansas City fans, and everybody else in baseball what you can do back there.
Show us what you got.
That's right.
First major league home run last night. Nate Bucati, long
tell
story.
Your story.
Yeah.
Can you remember it?
It's not.
Well, you built this thing up.
Age.
This better be good.
It's gone.
This better be real good.
It better be
good.
Really good.
No, it's not. Well, then we should just move on. No. It's not that good of a story. But when I since I was accused yesterday of going back on the Royals payroll.
Look, it's just don't shoot the messenger. I was reading a tweet.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
I was officially never on the Royals payroll. I was on the Fox Sports payroll, but I was part of the broadcast crew. And one of the things that Dayton used to do, and I don't know if he still does this with the guys or not, because it's been 8 years, I think, since I worked with them. But we would about once a homestand or so get to go meet with Dayton as broadcasters, and he would just sit down and talk to us about whatever we wanted to know in the organization. Hey,
With Dayton.
Yeah, what do we think of this guy? What's the organization's attitude on this? And he would just take questions. But the thing that I actually thought was really interesting was every once in a while, he would say, well, some guys in the organization think this, some guys think that. And it was a real window into the idea that you think everybody in the organization thinks the same way. They have big arguments about stuff. Well, I think this guy should throw a slider. I don't think he should, you know, whatever. But every once in a while he'd go, what do you guys think? And he would genuinely ask the broadcasters for their opinions. And at first I thought, I can't believe he's asking us dopes for our opinions on this.
That's what I would have said.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much he factored it in or not, but it was apparent to me that he valued everybody's input. You know, he wants to know what everybody in the organization, thinks about things. And because they might have an idea or something that he hadn't heard of or thought before, or just, you know, hey, what do other people think? And he would always say, look, I'm not married to my opinion on this. I want to hear what people think. But the flip side to that to me is I got the impression sometimes from talking to Dayton that he maybe underestimated how much power he had in the organization from the standpoint that, well, I talked to all the guys in the organization and they're not telling me this is a problem. Well, they're not telling you because you're the boss.
Do you think he cares?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
do you think he cares that I would not like to see Ryan O'Hearn hit cleanup ever again?
Hey.
I'm asking a question.
Hey, I sent you a text.
What was your text?
What?
It said, I think we should keep Ryan O'Hearn in the number, the cleanup spot all year long.
This is what he does. You know he does this all the time. And you and I get, and people say, oh, why do you push Mike's buttons on the air? Because he texts me these things.
Yeah, I don't.
You get him wound up.
I like getting Stephen wound up.
Sure he does.
But you know what I'm saying about that? Like everybody, I think he wants guys that are willing to say their piece and speak their mind and stuff, but there are certain things that people just aren't going to tell the boss. You know, like they don't want to snitch on somebody else or anything like that, and they're just...
Snitches get stitches,
right.
You know that.
They're just not going to tell you, you know? And so I do think sometimes, like, I kind of feel like this article from Alec Lewis, going back to that a little bit, that it might be hard for Dayton to figure out from the inside that there are guys on his staff that are griping about the coaching they're getting.
Who thought Alec Lewis was going to be the straw that stirred this drink, by the way?
I don't care what team you're on. There's always going to be guys who are upset about something.
Or, sure.
This isn't right. We're doing this wrong. Blah, blah. That's every team you go to is going to be like that. There's always going to be a few of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Especially when you're not playing well or not pitching well or not hitting well. That's
it might just be excuse making from those guys.
It could be.
It's not my fault I'm not getting anybody out. They're coaching me wrong. You know?
No, you're leaving balls right in the middle of the plate. That could be it.
Yeah. I mean, so.
And that's probably why I would get fired if I was a pitching coach, because I'd basically tell the guys, no, you suck. No,
that's right.
You got to change. Otherwise, you're not going to last very long.
Right.
I couldn't coddle guys. There's no possible way. They're men now.
Hey.
Figure it out.
By the way, our birthday boy, Jamie Bluma, mocked me loudly when I said, well, maybe Brady Singer's going to come back and be awesome.
You know what? He told me, he texted me and told me to punch you as soon as I walked into the studio.
What if they go off and rattle 8 more wins? You guys all owe me
what if
apology.
I get younger, too?
Hey.
Okay.
All seriousness.
You know, every time O'Hearn came up yesterday, in game one, there were runners in scoring position.
Look.
Yeah, either struck out or grounded out weakly.
No, I'm saying, look, he's a cleanup hitter. All four times he came up, there were runners in scoring position. All four times.
How many scored, Steve?
None. He went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. So don't say,
And that weak ground ball to first, too. That one.
And look, we're having all these deep discussions about baseball and everyone's philosophies and everything else. How do they arrive... what formula
our two new hitting coaches
where they say
want him there.
The best guy to hit cleanup is Ryan O'Hearn. Because I want to know. We see what role he serves. Guess what he's good at? Pinch hitting.
He does a great job pinch hitting.
Guess what he's not good at? Being your cleanup hitter.
Playing every day.
For the life of me. And you're trying to dismiss this all... That's one of the reasons that cost him the game. Because what's your cleanup hitter supposed to do?
Drive in runs.
He had 4 chances with runners in scoring position, and he went 0-for-4. Salvi had a bad time, too, but we find out Salvi
had a bad thumb.
Effing sprained thumb, and he went on the IL.
And he still got a knock.
Okay, and so we can't just laugh and giggle about it, because that might have cost him the game one.
Well, I stirred something up when I texted him that, didn't
I? No, seriously, but that, like... Right there.
I don't have an answer.
But everyone just it's fun.
No,
he was the cleanup hitter,
and
he had 4 chances of driving a run, and he didn't come through on any of them. So why do they keep doing that? Just tell me. You tell me.
I
want you to tell me. And then if it makes sense, I go.
I can't tell you that. I agree with you. He's a damn good pinch hitter. He seems to come through almost every time.
And there's an art to that because not everyone can do that.
Exactly.
Just because you're a good hitter doesn't mean you're a good pitcher. There's something about it, right?
Right, exactly. And he could spell somebody once in a while. But to throw him out there on a daily basis is...
But just when he starts, it doesn't mean he has to be cleanup.
Nate's
grinning. I'm done. Take over.
Vinny Pasquantino will take that spot.
That's fine. But he's not taking the spot now, and that hurt them in that game yesterday.
But we're trying
to
win.
Who do you want to hit cleanup for this?
Didn't
Matheny
say we're trying to win?
Literally anyone on the entire roster.
Even Santana?
Sure. Why not?
At least he'll walk.
He's hitting less than...
Yeah, but he can walk.
Like, it's true.
Anyone.
Santana will walk once in a while.
He'll get on base.
What? Like who do you think's not a better option?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to sit here and play devil's advocate for you. I can't do it. You son of a...
A one-legged Mondesi is a better option, I think.
I'm just saying. Better? Who's not a better option?
Yes, Santana's on-base percentage is 50 points higher, so...
Likes on-base percentage. I know that for a fact.
It's actually the most important aspect.
Nate just acted like that was a gotcha moment. He goes, well, who do you want instead of him? Anybody. No, they're all Zach Greinke.
I bet you Greinke actually might hit better.
I just got a text from Gavin. Told me to tell you to calm down.
I'm going to throw this iPad off the dock.
You're
right
supposed
now.
To have lunch
and
with
I,
him.
You know what? I shouldn't get this mad about that stuff. But then it happens in a close game where he comes up four times the runner's scoring position and doesn't deliver on any of them. I'm like, well, that might have just cost you a game there, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you on that.
Devil's advocate.
I'm trying here.
I'm enjoying this so much to get you stirred up for a change.
Because
you do that to me all the time.
I'm done now.
Every time I'm on.
I'm out of it.
Right.
To go back to it, I'm trying to be positive here.
Do it.
You know, Bluma laughed me out of the room.
He should have.
When they said, the Royals still in this. And I said, yes, because there's 130 games left in the season. You're not out of it when there's 130 games left in the season. And he said, well, where's our pitcher? I said, we've got three good starting pitchers. Greinke and Keller and
Lynch.
Lynch. And Lynch. And he said, what about the other 40% of the time? And I said, what if Brady Singer comes up and starts pitching well? And, what if monkeys fly out of my butt? You know, well.
Is that what Bluma's voice sounds like to you? Listen to this.
Well, that probably has happened before with Bluma.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they might happen tonight on his 50th birthday.
Oh, there'll be monkeys falling out of his butt. Yeah. I've seen that before.
Yep.
And so, hey, if Singer keeps pitching like this all of a sudden,
you're back to that if word.
Yeah, but. Well, that's what it's all about.
I understand that, but show me a consistent six-game
right.
Stretch.
It's going to take. I can't wave the checkered flag on this just because Singer went out and was dominant, but that's encouraging. I mean, I just feel like
we've been encouraged before. Nate
Heasley went out. He's pitched okay.
You seen anything from Heasley?
Heasley? He's done okay. Yeah,
I'm disappointed that he hasn't gone full mustache.
I'm sitting there going, and I watch him. I'm going. This guy's got good stuff.
I look up
and he goes four or five innings and give out three or four runs. I'm going, how did that happen? What did he do to do that? Well, he makes mistakes.
I know that I'm sitting the bar low, but he's not getting hammered like Bubich and,
No. I mean, you think, I look and I think he's pitching better than his stats show. But he's still giving up those three, four runs in a short, four or five innings.
But you see some upside there. There's something.
There is upside. His stuff's good. His stuff's good, and he looks like he's got an idea out there. It's just he makes mistakes. You can't make the mistakes, not that many of them. So,
what else? You've said so much.
You get Vinny Pasquantino up here.
O'Hearn.
Not for a while.
Well, maybe they're trying not to make the same mistake they did by rushing these pitchers.
Yeah, he just
up.
Said he rushed Singer up.
You're going from A to Z. I'm not asking for Vinny to be the cleanup hitter right now. I'm asking for anyone else on the roster, the active roster, because that ain't it. That's not the solution. How many times
lot of guys in this team that aren't really active.
Right.
So,
but how many times do they have to do that before? Well, I was going to say before, that might have cost him a game because he had four opportunities as a cleanup hitter to come through yesterday. He didn't come through in any of them. Marco agrees with me.
But you know what?
There, thank
look,
you.
Look, go and look at the stats of everybody in baseball and look at the teams. Every team's got like eight guys hitting around 200. That's terrible. That's just awful. If you had one or two on your team, you know, it was almost scary. They better be great defensively. Now it's eight guys on a club hitting 200. I'm looking at all these different teams. I got the package where I can watch different games. And you look at the lineup, 280, and then all of a sudden there's 210, 200, 190. I mean, I'm going, whoa, there's a lot of guys hitting around 200. That's not good. That's bad baseball. That's just bad.
You don't love it as a pitcher?
Well, the problem is, and Dayton said, you know, hitting's changed now. Why has it changed? Explain to me why hitting is different now. It shouldn't be. It should be the same as it always was. Why is it different? I'm giving him criticism here, okay? Explain to me why it's different and why it's... Is it better?
He's not the reason it changed. He's just telling you what has happened.
I understand that, but
he doesn't like the fact that it's changed.
Hey, George said it at the ALS golf tournament. Hey, can these guys hit today? Bergie? Nope.
Nope.
That's right. There.
Dayton would agree with all that.
I know he would.
It's not his fault.
But you're controlling a team. Do something.
Well, that's why they brought in Alex Zumwalt. In all seriousness, when we had Zumwalt on the show, and I asked him about launch angle, he said, boy, don't even start with launch angle on me. Zumwalt got mad. He's like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about all the stuff you talked about.
Contact.
Contact. Hit the ball where it's pitched.
Quit striking out. Make contact.
Get a good
this
pitch
club
to hit
is made,
and drive it.
This stadium, this our market is made for guys to hit doubles, singles and doubles.
In all seriousness, you ought to be.
And just keep them rotating. Move around the field. And you look up and go, oh, God, just beat you to death as a pitcher.
In all honesty, Bud, you ought to be loving the Zumwalt move.
Because I don't know the man.
He preaches exactly the stuff you're talking about.
Then I do love him. He's impressive.
You know, I just get upset because I care.
maybe he'll get O'Hearn to start hitting the ball.
The Royals should embrace everyone that cares, because that's the problem.
100%.
Because there's people out there that don't.
Yeah.
That used to. And they need to embrace everyone that actually does care.
Yeah. I want to see Kauffman filled with people. I think that's the greatest thing in the world to look out there and just see.
Well, I'll take you to the Motley Crue concert.
No.
It was going to be filled with people.
I know, but I'm not a Motley Crue guy. So.
What are you looking at me like that for? You don't think people will fill that up? Bad mouth Motley Crue right now.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it.
You better not.
I've seen Motley Crue in concert.
Good for you.
I've seen them with Def Lep.
Am I wrong about that, by the way? Hold on.
Are we breaking again, Marco?
No.
This isn't my fault this time, Marco.
We're just cutting into Lezak's time. Who cares?
Take this one out on Steven.
Right?
That's not a problem.
Lezak can just shorten it up.
I'll let you tell him that.
Okay.
I'll let you tell him that.
Well, you know I will. I don't really care.
Did you hear what Lezak's filthy mouth was talking about
yesterday? He can talk about the moisture tongue again.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
With everything else?
See, I listen all the time. I just don't call in all the time.
You know? We'll take a break then. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Good morning. So, how are you guys today? Is Boddicker still there?
Yes.
Yeah, your time's up, Gary. We ran a little long. You got about 8 seconds. You got to give a forecast in 8 seconds. After that 4 inches of rain we had at the house last night, I'm not real happy with you.
I negotiated. You got the rain up north, 1,700 of an inch.
We got a lot of rain last night.
Yeah, this thing came in. It was spinning, as it came across Lawrence, Kansas, and there was severe weather approaching, and then it, instead of severe thunderstorms, it slowed down and just spun rain with lightning shooting across our sky.
We had a little hail last night, too, Gary.
A little bit of pea-sized hail.
Yep.
Oh, hail no.
Hell no.
Yep.
Oh. I wish there was a cold front approaching.
I was cussing you last night, going, I can't believe he did this to me.
You think that if 25,000 people went to the game every night, that the Royals would win more?
No, we need to win more to get 25,000 people to the game every night.
Yes, you are correct. Oh, it's tough watching those games, but hey, they won the second game yesterday, so that's all that matters. Weather-wise today, it is going to be a gorgeous day. It's going to be sunny, a high temperature of 80. The sun's coming out, a few clouds mixed in. Tomorrow, 87 degrees, and a strong cold front comes through Friday. Snow, I just tweeted it out, 2 feet of snow in
here?
Colorado.
Oh.
And it may sneak into northwest Kansas. A little bit of snow on Saturday. So
we're all right. We're not in northwest Kansas.
No, we're not.
As long as it's not snowing here.
I know. Yeah. So pools aren't, some pools might be opening, but next week we'll get rid of this cold. The cold front is coming our way. Okay, Boddicker, I've got 3 dad jokes.
Okay, go ahead. You're limited in time, I want you to know.
And I got 2 more minutes. Marco and I negotiate.
Okay.
I told Marco if he needs to cut me, just cut me. It's okay.
I've already told him that.
Before that, did you see yesterday's discussion of the moisture tongue?
Yes.
And what did you think?
It kind of gave me the willies, to be honest with you. I'm just saying.
Steven and Nate are being quiet.
I'm just listening.
No,
I'm just observing.
He's snoring, Gary. Let's go with jokes.
Is Dave sleeping?
I'm reading stuff on Twitter.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm waiting for you to give a forecast here, you know.
I already did the forecast.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he did, but you were sleeping. We're waiting for dad jokes.
Dave, we listen to these. Come on.
I'm listening. I got my notepad out now. I'm ready to go. You got my attention now.
There better be good. At least one good one out of this group.
Okay, I'll start with my favorite one. You ready?
Okay.
I call my horse Mayo. Sometimes mayonnaise.
That's your best one?
You don't like that color.
I don't like that color.
Not a very good one. This one. I was attacked by 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. The odds were against me.
That's not bad. That's better than the first one.
Okay, how about this one? Boss told me that as a security guard, it's my job to watch the office. I'm on season 6, but I'm not really sure what it's got to do.
That's pretty good.
That was a good one. Yeah, you got one out of 3. That's not bad. That's all I wanted. Yeah, you're hitting 333. You're good.
I left at all 3. Hey, now I am out of time. When are we going to lunch? Is that
good? I've been waiting. I told you, you're the busy one.
Right.
So you got to let me know.
Things are settled down. You know, I did the shave to save.
Oh, yeah.
Furball,
you know what? Until that next monster storm comes in and you have to cancel, right?
Okay.
And you got to be there all day.
All right. Hey,
I'm waiting for you to say, okay, we're good for a couple days and let's go to lunch.
I'm good, and I better get out of here, otherwise Marco's going to get mad,
right?
Okay?
Marco's always mad. Jeez.
Yeah. No, he's a great guy.
He grins a lot, but he's pissed on the inside.
Here is Pro Partners Healthcare. You got to consider this option. It's amazing. Here's Dr. Troy Burns.
Thanks, Gary. You know, most people are frustrated that they can never reach their doctor when they really need them. That never happens at Pro Partners. If you need easy, direct access to a doctor who knows you and is always available, give Pro Partners a call or check us out on the web at ProPartnersHealthcare.com.
That's Mike Boddicker. Mike, thank you for the time.
Oh, it goes too quick, Steve.
Too fast.
Yeah. I got to come in and spend about 3 hours sometimes so we can really get into this.
Any day
get
you want.
Get into that O'Hearn thing.
Any day you want.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, geez. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.